Let's do
Love
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. It's Empowerment Hour, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live with the crew. We'll talk about what we need, what African Americans need. We're going to get that thing kicked off right now. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Come on, Luca. Hey. There's no better love, people. That's what we're talking about. Oh, yeah. Better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. I'll say it again. There's no better self for love. Welcome to Empowerment Hours, 365 days of African-American empowerment, because we need it. We need it. We need it. We need it. We need help. We need support. We need assistance. We need healing. We need love. We need peace. We need joy. We need happiness. We need some refinement. We need correction for direction. And so let's talk about the mission of the NAAEA. But first, the conversation today is going to be a potluck. So you can talk about anything you want because this is your show. But I just want to bring in some topics today about what we need. What do African-American people need to sustain themselves, to get better, to improve, to rise back up into a great place globally, not just here in America, not just in your community, but on the globe. We do so many great things, but let's get to the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association. The mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower youth, the African American community. To educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our young people. To educate, inspire, and motivate, and empower our fathers and our mothers. To educate, motivate, empower, and inspire our college students, right? Our high school students, right? Getting us ready, right? To really participate, to compete, to get there, to do the work. But not only that, to do the work on ourselves in home, in family, and in community. That's the work. That work needs to be done today, right now, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Who else is going to do it? So here are the five pillars really quickly. If you don't already know it, write it down real quick. It's peace. It's the peace concept, because we need peace within ourselves and outside of ourselves. So here's the peace concept. Politics. African Americans need a political agenda. You have to have a political agenda and a political platform. Doesn't matter what party, independent, Democrat, Republican, you have to participate on local level. You have to participate on a state level, and you have to participate on a national level. But you have to understand the systems, the system dynamics. When you understand that, then you can better play the game. If you never played chess before, then you don't know how the pieces work. You won't be effective at playing the chessboard. Economics, you have to have an economic agenda. You have to understand how money works and how to manage that money when it comes in. You got to be on a paper chase, not like just striving for money, but you got to understand how it works, how to get it, how to keep it, and then how to be able to build a legacy for the next generation. That's what I'm talking about. It's generational wealth that we need to build. That's right. The A is athletics. And this is part they get mad with me about. Health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. That's mental health, physical health, emotional health. What are you eating? Are you working out? Are you taking care of your body? Are you taking care of your mind? You have to take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Did you work out today? Have you gone for your walk? Are you eating right, healthy? Right, those things are important. Are you drinking water? Are you doing those things that are taking care of your body? And the question is either going to be yes or no, and for some of y'all, just maybe I might be. But you're going to have to be able to do a better job of sustaining your physical being, your temple, so that you could be around to assist our young people. Just imagine how many young people are going through this world without the guidance of somebody who is older than than them that can give them the wisdom and guidance that they need. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to y'all black people because we need it. And the thing about it is that we should be listening more and we should be spreading this word of empowerment throughout every community in this country to say, hey, what are we going to do? What's the agenda? What's the play? You got to have a play. And why are we not organizing ourselves in a way that we got to play? Because the lines should be full and we should be having activities and conversations going on all week, 365 days of the year, working on ourselves. That's why we had the Kwanzaa principles in the Willie Lynch moment and this show, talking about the five pillars of empowerment. The next thing is culture. Culture is so important. Why do you think they got Chinatown? Why do you think the Jewish people are so successful? These are other cultures because they have culture that keep them in line. It defines them. It gives them value. It gives them purpose. And then education, that's the E, is a comprehensive education, right? That really allows you to not only get knowledge on the regular school level, but really educating yourself on what's going on in this society and how things work, the strategies of the society, for example, right? The consciousness that you have to develop and the defensive mechanisms that you're going to have to put in place to make sure that you're insulated and isolated from some of the things that go on in this society. That's our job. Our job is to teach, train, and develop. And so that is what we need to do. And so much of the time, we don't understand what we need to do, but I'm going to ask Stan to jump in. And
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
You heard it. It's my brother Stan Macklin. He's saying we got to stop trying to get in and fit in. When are you going to try to become your original self? Right? And this is no disrespect at all, but we're doctored in a lot of ways, right? Because we have had to adapt to this culture. But what I'm really talking about, like what Stan just said, is when we can just be our original selves and love ourselves just the way we are, that's a part of the healing process. Can you just love your beautiful skin and your hair and your lips and your nose and your culture and your people? It's not an embarrassment to have your ancestors to be enslaved, because it really speaks to their greatness and the contributions that was made and has been made and continue to be made in this society under those conditions. No one else has ever done that under the conditions. What a great people. I'm proud. All right, we're going to the Willie Lynch moment. I'm getting ready to bring Brother George in just a minute. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
All right, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, brother,
yes,
how you
sir,
doing?
Yes, I am.
All right,
you're doing great,
it's your
brother.
Turn. All right, take it away.
All right, well, all right, thank you, brother.
You're
today's,
welcome.
Today's principle, Kwanzaa principle, is going to be Ujamaa, collective economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. I think that's appropriate for the time, as all of them are, because we do need to start looking into supporting each other and opening up shops and getting back to what we once used to do very well. We are the best sales and business people in the world. And I read that in another book that maybe I'll pull that out next week, that particular quote. Now, this week in the Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to use a topic that fits in the category of the metaphysics. And I'm going to read it from a book that was written by Reverend Dr. Ishaka Musa Barasengo, God, the Bible, and the Black Man's Destiny. Now, before I say that, I'm going to say what Dr. Barasengo used to say to us before any of his lectures. He used to say, blessed are those who struggle. Oppression is worse than the grave. It is better to live and die for a noble cause than to live and die a slave. Now, I heard from someone that quote actually came from The Last Poet, but I remember it coming from Dr. Barasengo's mouth each time he would lecture for us. So I just wanted to share that with you. I'm going to read from the chapter called The Holy Ghost, The Spirit of Black Liberation. There is a force in the universe that moves upon the hearts and minds of black folks and brings them face to face with self. Without this divine force, there would be no blackness. This mighty spirit power is the third manifestation of God, referred to in the Bible as the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and the Spirit of Truth. The title Holy Ghost is derived from two Hebrew words meaning a vital, stimulating force, a motivating power that generates true intellect and produces real action within the minds, souls, and bodies of African people. As we attune ourselves to and move into accordance with this divine black spirit, it will cleanse our souls of all evil, that is whiteness, and make us perfect in the knowledge of self, fully aware of our potential as a nation. I thought that was very appropriate for today because we do need to understand that we were the greatest understanders of the metaphysics. And a lot of what we wrote about was based on the metaphysics, and the metaphysics is very real. And I just wanted to share that with you to give you something a little different for the Williness segment. So back to you, brother, and thank you for allowing me to do what I do. Thank you.
9282, are you there? Wow,
yeah,
come back.
I lost you.
You there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me? I couldn't hear you for a while.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm in. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes, sir. How
All
you
right.
doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. How are you?
Good, good. First, let me say Monday works for me.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right, let me... What I want to talk about today right quick is, you know, you know me, and you know I'm a logical thinking person. I'm a Trekkie, you know, and Dr. Spock was my main character on Star Trek, and, you know, logical, think logical. And also, as it says in the Bible, prove all things, you know, because I wasn't here 70 years ago. I wasn't here 100 years. I wasn't here 1,000 years ago. So things that happened that far back and that preceded me, I can't say I'm 100% certain of, because I'm here, I'm being taught those things. So I've got to investigate, look at, and try to come to a logical conclusion on what should I believe, what I should not believe, okay? So that led me this week to ask the question when I, looked at God. You know, I come up with the question, what kind of God is that? And by that, what I mean is we live in a world where the norm is killing, lying, stealing, cheating, raping, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, drinking, doping. So, I mean, normal. These are the normal things every day in the world in which we live and that I was born into. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are taught,
okay.
We are taught by our religion and so forth that we are not supposed to participate in none of those sins or hellish things that go on around in the world that we in 24/7, 365, all the time. You know, that's just, as you say, that's life. You know, and if you participate in it, then you're taught that you will not go to see your Father, God, when you die in heaven for eternity. But if you can avoid participating in the stuff that goes on in your life, in our lives every day, 24/7,
right,
all the hell that goes on in our lives every day, if we don't participate in that crap, then when we die, we will go see our Father in heaven and be with him for eternity. Question, what kind of God is that? You know, what kind of father would put his children in a system to test them to see if they worthy of coming to live in eternity with him? You know, now he our Father, he our Creator. We didn't ask for this. He created us, but yet we're going to put us in a situation where we constantly, all our lives, have to go through this test and not participate in hell, because if we participate in the hellish activities that we live in every day of our lives at all, then we won't get to see him at death and live with him for eternity. But he gives us an out. Because you see, I understand you might be a little weak and y'all flawed. I didn't make y'all perfect. I didn't, you know, y'all not totally like me. So y'all going to make mistakes. But I'll allow you to get to me. You can do some of that hellish shit all your life, yeah, really, if you want to. Just before you die, you've got to confess your sins to me and ask for forgiveness in the name of my son. If you do that, then you can come up here with me in eternity forever in heaven. What kind of God is that? Now, I was having that conversation with my wife and my daughter the day before yesterday, and my wife said, are you questioning God? I said, no, dear, I'm not questioning God. I'm questioning the stories that I've been told about God. You know, what kind of God, what kind of father would put you through the hell and then create you with flaws? He's supposed, when he created us, he supposed to be said he was pleased and we are perfect. And if he put flaws in us, because we his children, we just like him, but he flawless, because he God, he doesn't have flaws. But he put flaws in us and then put us in this hell of a situation to test us to see if we deserve to get to him for eternity in heaven after we die. Again, what kind of God is that? Did you see the movie, brother, Bruce Almighty? You ever seen
no,
that
I
movie?
Didn't get a chance to see that.
Excuse me. It's got Jim Carrey, Morgan Freeman. Okay? Morgan Freeman is God. Jim Carrey is the white man. And God, Morgan Freeman, gives Jim Carrey all his power. He gives him all the power of God. Is Morgan Freeman, a black man, giving all the powers of God in this movie to a white man? With only two things, only two catches, he told him. He said, one, you can't tell them you God, because you're not. And you can't mess with their free will. Because they have free will, but you can't mess with that. So what Jim Carrey and white folks do in that situation is control all of the things that we use our free will to make decisions about. You know what I'm saying? Now, you make the choice. You decide if you're going to go get drunk. You decide if you're going to go to church. You decide if you're going to commit adultery. You can. And I'm putting all these things in front of you, but all the things that they're putting in front of us that we're supposed to have free will coming from Jim Carrey, if you will, coming from the master. So, yeah, you and I have free will, but we don't understand the free will, and we're not in control of the things from which we're deciding to use that free will. Again, what kind of God is that? That's my question. You see what I'm saying? I'm not attacking God. I'm not questioning God, nor am I attacking Christianity or any religion. I'm questioning the whole concept that we've been taught about God. Because whether you're a Christian,
right,
or a Muslim or a Buddha or a Hindu or Jehovah's Witness, all of them, you got to go through hell and pass this hellish test to see your daddy at death and live with him for eternity in heaven. What kind of God is that? All religions, everyone, you
got
to go through
right,
that.
Brother.
So
I got to hold you right there. I got to hold
okay.
you right there. I'm going to come back
right,
to you.
Thank you. Thank
all
you,
right.
brother.
Okay. Thank you. Man. That's all I can say is man on that. Okay. So, okay. I personally try to stay away from people's personal politics, people's religion, and people's relationships, right? Me. I can tell you what to do about a whole lot of stuff, but I ain't going to tell you what to do about your man or your woman, because that ain't my business. I can't tell you what to do about you and your God. That ain't my business either. And I can't tell you who to vote for. That ain't my business. I can tell you you need to vote. I can tell you you need spiritual development. I can tell you need to treat a person better as a human being. But I can't. I love you, brother, but y'all can, because it's the people's show. But I ain't touching God. I ain't touching nobody's personal politics, and I can't tell nobody what to do. I'm minding my own business when it comes to personal relationship. My toes is out the water when it comes to that. But I will say, we do need to make better choices. I'm piggybacking now. With our free will. Yes, we do. We need to make better choices with how we treat each other, how we respect each other, how we understand each other, how we acknowledge each other, how we treat each other. Those things are vital and critical, how we raise, train, and develop and teach our children. So what I'm asking is, what do African Americans need? One, strong families. Two, stronger institutions. Three, a focus on education. Damn, mathematics. Again, Jeff Bezos and his crew just went up in space. What we doing? We need employment. Not only that, we need to employ ourselves. And last, we need cooperative economics. All right, I'm going over to 8128. 8128, are you ready? Here we go. Bring it. You're on board.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Oh, okay. I'm
I'm a little contemplative today because I've been having some conversations with some people about us black folks coming together, and I've been getting a lot of mixed kind of messages, but I welcome the discussion because the discussion is the only way that you can lead, you know, it can lead to some possible unified solutions to anything. If you could talk about it, right? If you keep it to yourself, you ain't going to be able to find nothing because it's all in your head and you ain't leaving no room to expand what's going on in your head. And that's one of the issues that I find to be most welcoming about discussion is that you cannot expand unless you communicate and exchange from with an open mind. And I found that there are people who are willing to do that, and there are people who are willing not to. I mean, they, you know, just want to hold on to something, whether it is holding you back or not. And some people just don't want to be questioned. And that is unfortunate because you cannot expand unless you exchange. You can't receive unless you open up. And you can't consider unless you allow something to be considered, you know? Because here's something, at least a motto of mine, and this is something that I've tried to go by most of my life, and that is, you always could be wrong. You could be wrong. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and if you could be wrong, then that means you can consider something else. You know, say if you can't consider it, then it can't be a possibility of you looking at it and expanding your, and even if it's something that you consider and you decide to stay the same way. Until you consider it, and of course beyond your point of view, you can never really say or dismiss it because you could be wrong. And as much as you can learn, there's always someone who has that same knowledge from a different perspective, or could.
Mm-hmm.
So that means discussion is necessary, expansive. It's universal. Like your brother was saying, you know, if we're created by a creator whose plan is beyond our scope, then we have to consider in our little mere and meager understanding that there are things on this planet that are far beyond our scope until they're revealed and until we consider them. So all I'm saying is that we as black people have to consider the fact, well, first of all, I don't even think it's a far cry for us to consider the fact, like, brother, I think it was you who said that we have been educated a certain way, to a point of view that is not our own, based on a societal norm that is not our own. And we were thrust into this, and it's that lack of our own that makes us subject to someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a fact. Right? I mean, facts are just facts. I mean, how you feel about it has to come second, because the reality ain't gonna change. And unless you change to understand the reality, okay, how you feel about it is going to keep you in prison if it is not in agreement with reality. So prison is fantasy. Reality is freedom, no matter what, because the more you know, the more you can do, and the more you can consider. So that's just it's just the reality, you know? And fact is, you know, that those are just basic, surface, superficial understanding of what is real and what is not. But if you can't consider anything, you can never determine anything. So it's just something to look at before you can look at anything else, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true. All right. Thank you, brother. I'm going to hold you right there, but I'm coming back to you.
Okay, so I want to go back for a minute because Brother George started out with the right. He talked about that force, right? And that force you can't see, right? Stay with me for a second, y'all. On the other end, we've learned about religion, right? We've learned about belief systems that man has told us or passed down or taught us. But outside of that, again, is a force. It's a Holy Ghost. It's a comforter. It's a power that exists. It's a universal power that is really you. And so irregardless of the indoctrination and irregardless of the conditioning and the Willie Lynch factor and the mixed messages and the education, right, that we've taken on, we still need to unify individually first, right? You unify with your higher power that's in you, that force that's in you, that you have to contemplate with, that you got to sit with, that you have to work, that's within you. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's an individual thing. We can go for fellowship with the work for you has got to be individual. Get in tune with your God, your higher self, and your higher power, and then come back and we can talk. Here's the last thing. If you really want to get involved and you really want to get something going, why don't you join the NAAEA? This is my proposition. We need people. We need us. We need to work together. I'm looking for a membership drive right now. I'm starting it today. I'm asking for members every week until I get to 1,000. And then after that, I'm looking for 10,000. And then I'm looking for 1,000,000. That's right. 1,000. How about that? But what we need is, we could do a whole lot of talking, but until we organize and we really get the recruitment together to say, let's go do some work in our communities. Let's do some work in talking about what we can do and then go out and do something good. That's where it's at. I'm done with that part. Thank y'all for listening. I'm going over to 0673, but we got to know who we are, and it's up to us. 0673. It's your turn.
What's up, Alfred?
Come on.
I wait till the music go down.
Oh, you know I got to play that for you, brother.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, finish playing.
Okay. There it is. It's you. What you got, brother?
Free Will. And Bobby Wright talks about that in his tape. Free Will, if you let that go, what it suggests that during my offer or continue my offer, our greatest destruction, especially in our enslavement, right? Free Will suggests that you could have got out of your situation anytime just by changing your mind. But the problem is we don't have our own mind. And then Bobby Wright was suggesting that's a kind of a racist type of terminology that was used, right, to justify the fact that you always had the opportunity to change your condition. Well, how can you if you don't have your own mind? And I can do various tests to show that you don't have your own mind. That's why I wrote the book, Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate, because you're not operating from an African mindset. You operate from your own mindset. All right. Not that I want to add, brother. If I always turn on the tail end of your program because I have a hectic schedule, and it's the first time I heard the five pillows. Man, I never heard that. I mean, that was very powerful. That was very powerful where you put those pillows. And I learned to listen. We're so quick to want to show people how much we know, but we don't listen to what someone else is saying. And that was the first time I heard those pillows. I never heard it broken down that way before, and that was very powerful, brother. Another thing I want to add is I co-sign with you on religion and politics, because we're about healing the nation. And if you get into the essence of Scripture, the essence of the Quran, the essence of the Bible, the essence of the Torah, the message is the same without using the word Christianity, without using the word Bible, right? So let's look at the essence thereof. The essence thereof is, if I keep focus on a devil, then every time I do something wrong, I can throw it on the devil. at what time do I accept responsibilities for my actions?
Mm-hmm.
If I commit adultery, if I cheat on my wife, I'm not going to say the devil did it. Stop spraying something to you without even dealing with religion. I'm dealing with the essence thereof. I don't have to use the term Christianity. I don't have to use the term Islam. The devil concept is in all those disciplines, right? If I put all my focus on the devil, at what point do I say, Kevlon, you cheated on your wife. Accept responsibility and correct your habits. But if you always focus on the devil, then you're never going to change. Another thing I want to talk about is the afterlife. Regardless of what discipline you're dealing with, right, if you spend 365 days a year focused on the afterlife, what do you do now? You got people who are drunked out, all kinds of problems, right? They say, but I'll be all right if I die. And they take no steps to correct the situation that they are at present. And that's what we have to do, right? And so when we speak to the people, right, if you talk about healing, you get the essence thereof. You don't, like I said, I co-sign with you on your perspective on when you did your relationship with people when it comes to religion, when it comes to politics, right? Deal with the essence thereof. Like Dr. Clark said, it makes so difference. I could care less whether characters in the Bible are true or not. The messages are very real. And after the spiritual concept, there's no separation between religion and science. Africans said, there's a force out here beyond our comprehension, regardless of the name of that force, right? He said, I know that force left us a sign. What is that sign? What is it? No matter where you go, that symbol is there. It's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
So the African concept was there with the cosmos. It was no separation between science and religion. They said, it's the sun. No matter where you go, that sun is there, right? So they said, we don't know God. That's the hidden one. The hidden one. But there has to be a force of physical representation to us, right? And we saw that as the sun, which was the eye of God. Not God, but the eye of God. And from that came these various disciplines. So, you know, just to add to the program, but I won't go long because I can go long, but I do appreciate how you started the program. And make sure you always start the program with those five pillars, because that right there, that did it all for me, brother. And when you talk about recruiting, I'm on.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, brother. Appreciate that. All right.
I got you.
So we're looking at ourselves again, right? And as we continue to humbly move forward together, the brother talked about the essence. So here's the essence. The essence of humanity, because we got to get back to being human beings, right? And I think if we get back to the essence of the humanity, which is spirit, right, which is life force, and understanding that we're going to learn through experience, right? Nobody's perfect. Raise your hand if you are, right? Call me right now so I can get you on the line and you can tell me how perfect is. I'll wait. Okay. No, I don't see the board lighting up, but I got some people on. Okay, before I go, I'm going to 9116, and then I'm going to 0751 if y'all are talking. But listen, right? We have to correct ourselves. The correction for direction is with us. We have to be the ones to do the work, right? And I think, again, pointing the finger at each other is a move that is critically ill. I'm going to tell you why. Because if we keep pointing the finger at what we perceive as being flaws, we have to be able to understand that finger is going to point back at you. If we start talking about being productive in areas that we all can get on in and work from there, it works, right? I think, again, what we're talking about is building, right? We're trying to build a community. We're trying to rebuild the fabric of who we are, and we can't do that in opposition to one another. I don't think we could do it. Right? Okay. So on this boat, right, that we have to sail together is every man and woman of all kinds. People who are going to disagree with you, people who are going to agree with you, people who are tall, people who are short, people who are overweight, people who are skinny, people who are straight, people who are gay, people who are all in between, all kinds of people who are educated, people who are not educated, all of us. That's where we are right now. We are the melting pot, right? We are. The question is, is that as we continue to move forward, let's understand our needs and let's try to figure out how to solve those. If you're interested in becoming a member, go out to the website, www.naaea.weebly.com, and hook up with me. We're trying to make some moves. All right, 9116, bring it.
Bring it. What?
Hey, hey, 9116, you live.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, good evening.
Good afternoon, good evening, brother. May peace be upon you.
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings to everyone. I want to touch on a few different things, but the brother spoke about religion. And I just want to kind of piggyback on that, right? I rarely talk about religion. It's like a very touchy subject to a lot of people, especially
yeah.
in our community. So it's like, to talk about religion is something that I do with like a personal circle of people that know me for a long time, because it can create such a divide, such an argument, such a view. People view you in such a way. If you don't agree with that viewpoints of religion sometimes. And I really feel like it's a divide. It's a major divide piece amongst people of color, for one, along with other things that divide us. But I feel like if we just be black first, recognize that we are in that category first before we recognize anything, whether it be religion or athlete or scholar or whatever it might be. I think if we adopt that first, some people just want to be something else so bad. I'm an athlete, or I'm a scholar, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm whatever it might be, just to escape the blackness. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think if we become black first, we'll be so powerful. And just start dismissing all these different, I'm going to put it simply, worlds within the world. You know, there's so many worlds within the world that we want to adopt other than our world, which is being black. So, like I said, as far as religion, I rarely had a conversation. I just build on different things with people. I have neutral grounds, and I kind of avoid the religion conversation with people because I study so many different ones. My dad, Muslim, mom, Christian, you know, so that just had me like, that divide had me going to study so many different religions, so to study different religions, I feel like we'll overstand and get a different understanding of other people and cultures, so we can all just come together.
Mm-hmm.
And just on a different level, as far as like breaking down our unity piece, we need to start appreciating each other on every aspect and stop judging each other on so many different aspects. Because what I see, you know, we got the Israelites and the Moors, and sometimes they debate on which one was what. I feel like we were all things at certain times and periods, you know. We just moved out different, right?
I like that.
But on a, like, today's standpoint, when we have the divide of Willie Lynch, time we come together, that Willie Lynch theory had to be broken down by appreciating, even if it seems like a foul culture, like a rap thing, like the elders might look at rap.
Mm-hmm.
Have an optimistic view and find some type of positive in that.
True.
You know what I'm saying? And stop judging each other, because we all can like bring pieces together and create something beautiful. You know, the elders
totally agree.
Appreciate the youngins, and the youngins appreciate the elders. You know, and own way is the way. Come together and make that melting pot something beautiful, you know. Because when you look at rap, it's like a rebellion talk for these young guys. They're rebelling against not having structure for such a long time or not. Feeling like they were a part of something for such a long time, feeling like they were outcast for such a long time, and they're a strong little set of, these youngsters are so strong and so new in our ways that we need to embrace them and push them towards some of our ways. And we all need to come together, man.
I totally agree.
We can say. Yeah.
All right, brother.
But ultimately, I'm going to leave on this. I don't mean to talk too much. I apologize.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Came in rambling.
You good?
I'm going to leave on this note. Like we always talk about self-love. We can all build on self-love and be great off of self-love. And then once you get self-love, self-empowerment. Can't go wrong with that, you know.
I like that, brother. All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That's super powerful. I like it. I like it so much. So here's the deal. I think when you look at, we got so many things to really contemplate, right? We got some housekeeping to do. I mean some serious housekeeping, because there are a lot of things that we don't touch, right? It's to me, the platform and the circle. Like the brother said, I have those conversations in a smaller circle than that. And this platform could be the platform that we talk about the stuff that are really intimate and personal and passionate for some people. But I just know in our community that there's some stuff that we got to stop sweeping under the rug. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I don't know how we're going to be able to get to it, but there's some healing that needs to take place within us about some stuff that goes on, that has gone on, and that's been going on in our communities, in our families, that we're going to have to address. I ain't going to touch on it no more than that, but the truth is we need a platform to be able to heal. We need to have those critical discussions. But when it comes to the human element, again, the question that you got to ask yourself is, who am I as a person at the end of the day? Because that's going to describe who you are, the content of your character, your integrity, who you are as a man or a woman that walks this planet. That's what it's really all about. Who are you? How you treat people? How you talk to people? How are you? Right? Because we can always talk about other people. Right? But are you really looking at yourself and growing and have that growth to be upward? Right? That's all I'm saying. I'm going over to 0751. If you're ready, I'm ready. Here we go. 0751. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
0751. You're live.
Yes, my name is Matthew E. O'Neill, O'Neill. I am the number one ranked editor for Everipedia.org. It's a site that resembles Wikipedia, except we have video capabilities. Okay. I am also the author of three audiobooks on Amazon.com, including the Everipedia Mob Chronicles. The reason for the call is I did 4 years in the armed forces. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I got an honorable discharge. Mm-hmm. And my technical training instructor in basic training was an African-American named Clinton Richards. I did his boot camp. It was 47 days. Upon completion of the boot camp, I was in Mississippi where I had black instructors. And many of my trainers in boxing when I competed were black Americans. I just want to say to the listening audience, I think that even to the current day, the armed forces – getting an honorable discharge and competing as an athlete in sanctioned athletic events can be a way for all Americans to kind of uplift themselves out of a situation that is bad.
That's true.
And yes, and I like to say that Everipedia, it's a site that rivals Wikipedia. We have over 6 million articles. It's on all the major platforms, Google.com and Bing.com. I did the audiobook Everipedia Boxing Show, where I interviewed a host of African-American boxers that competed, such as Junior Jones out of New York. And they try to explain, they said that, you know, there's always rift between whites and blacks in boxing. But Floyd Mayweather Jr. has showed recently with his two fights against Conor McGregor and Logan Paul that even though racism exists, some of his most lucrative fights are against individuals that have zero boxing experience. He's made tens of millions of dollars to fight two white guys that actually have never had one pro boxing match. So, you know, people train for years. I trained for years to be a boxer, and I was just an amateur boxer. But like I said before, I guess racism will always exist. But in a weird way, when people spin it, they can use it to their advantage. For example, like Floyd Mayweather and a few guys, they're able to take racism and spin it and make a ton of money out of it.
I would agree.
Because bottom
and
line,
again, can
Conor,
you
Conor
go ahead?
Because Conor McGregor and Logan Paul, the guys that fought Floyd Mayweather, they had zero boxing experience, and the fights just did as well as they did financially, just because those two guys were white.
Right. Can you spell the name of your platform for our audience, please?
Yes, it's called everipedia.org, everipedia.org. We resemble Wikipedia, except we have videos in a different section. We are also in 2020, and many of our articles are used as a reference for the United Kingdom-based company, The Independent. My name is Matthew E. O'Neill, O'Neil. I did 4 years in the armed forces, and many of my elite trainers that I used when I competed as a boxer were African-Americans, individuals like Technical Sergeant Clinton Richards and Sergeant Roby. I competed in USA Boxing. I beat a federally funded program called the United States Army World Class Athlete Program, and I beat a top 2% Division I scholarship athlete. I'm mostly of Irish and English ancestry, but the black mind, the black trainer, it was very, very good for me, and our minds really work well as far as getting the job done in the boxing ring. And also in the military, I got a string of medals and an honorable discharge. So with race relations, there's always going to be problems between different races. But things like the military, the armed forces, sports, and development, I think we can bridge that gap and hopefully over the next 15 to 20 years, make our country a better place.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You're exactly right. I appreciate your call.
Okay, well, thanks. All right.
Thank you. All right. There you go. Now, think about this, people, and I appreciate your call, sir. Let's go to racism for a minute, right? We can end racism in one simple way. So you know that there's this genome project, right, that really says 99.something% of all of us are the same, right? Down, we externally, we may not be, but in the human race, we're all the same. And we all bleed red blood. We all have two eyes. Most of us, well, we're built all the same way. That's the point. But here's the deal. When you get down, when you boil it all down and peel back all the layers, it's humanity. It's the spirit and the life forces in the body. And once that last breath hit and you're out of here, it's over. The question will be, what will you be doing with your lifetime? As a human being, right? Not as a black person, a white person, but we have to go through these structures, right? And the more that we jump over the hurdles, this particular conversation for me is going to be, we need to become human beings again. That's what African Americans need, but that's what all people need. That's what all cultures, all races need, to be human beings first, and then you can have your religion and everything else that you like. But try so much, ever so much, try real hard to just try to see how it feels to just be a human being. I'm going over to Brother George. Brother George, it's time for you.
Bring it! What?
Oh, yeah. See, y'all, Brother George like that. Brother George, this is on you.
I appreciate that, brother. And I'm going to say this quick. The black community, we need love and healing. And I heard a lot of the same thing of what I'm getting ready to say. But what we see in the streets today, in our community, everywhere, we made them. You know, it's just like I used to tell the football coaches on Friday when they see the team getting smashed by another high school. We're the ones that made them. And we made those young brothers out there that's killing each other and all that because we tend to forget about when we used to aggrandize, when we was in the streets and what we used to do and all of that. And they soaked that in. They took that in hook, line, and sinker. And now what we made, you know, we like, where they come from? They came from us. They came
right.
from our stories of the past. And now you got to take responsibility of doing it, and it's time to fix it now. Yeah, we mm-hmm. saw it, we did it, and that's fine. But it's time to fix it now. But we got to own up to what we did. I know what I did, and I tell people all the time that I am so sorry that I did what I did when I was in the street. And now I'm trying to fix it. So that's what, you know, I wanted to give to that conversation today. You know, it's time for us to fix it, and we need some love and some healing in our community. So thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother George. You are so right. And that is probably the most appropriate way to end this show. What do we need? We'll start with African Americans first. We need, again, employment, right? We need self-employment. We need to understand the systems that are in place, like the SBA that can help you if you want to start your business. But we need strong families, right? We need tools. We need skills. We need confidence, right? We need stronger institutions that define our own reality, that help us to be comfortable in our own skin. We need a political and an economic and a health and wellness and fitness and nutrition agenda. We need cultural programs to help us heal, because what we really need as a race of human beings, but a specific group, is we need healing. We've been traumatized. And it's time for it to end. And we need to get back to loving ourselves. Who can do that better than us, right? Because we've shown love in spite of and despite of all the challenges and obstacles. We need love and we need healing. And again, who best can do that? But if you don't look at yourself, and if you don't identify with the things that continue to create chaos and confusion, and like Brother George said, we're the leaders. We're teaching our young people and our children how to behave or not. Brother Booker said, who is this child being handed off to once he's born? And that's where the rest of us come in. I want you to consider joining the NAAEA. I don't care what color you are, right? It's about African American empowerment. And so we need resources, we need friends, we need neighbors, we need support, but we need programs, we need opportunities. We need to be educated, we need to be inspired, we need to be motivated, and we need to end the prison pipeline. That's what we need to do, and we need to love ourselves more. So I'll end with this. Whatever you do in the next 30 days, whatever you do in the next 24 hours, whatever you do in the next week, I want you to sit down for a few minutes and try to get in tune with that life force within you, right? Not your skin color, that's on the outside, but who you are on the inside as a person and as a human being. And if you can just connect with that part of you and then just say to yourself first, I love you. I love you, and understand what love is. Then we may have a chance at figuring out what love is for somebody else, because you cannot love your neighbor until you truly learn to love yourself. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. I'll talk to you next week, people. Peace and blessings.